You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And snap peas and herbs and kale and spinach and lettuce, you know, whatever.
Wow.
Lots of different stuff.
Okay.
Which he was telling me about the recent lack of rain. There hadn't been rain in 6 weeks of any consequence, and he was irrigating. The fields are irrigated, drip irrigation, and the greenhouse he, of course, does by hand.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also find him at it's called Sandbrook Meadow Farm, and they're at DeVore there in Route 12 Circle in Flemington every week, and also at the Doylestown Farmers Market on Saturday, DeVore Sunday.
Right. Okay.
What he is also produces organic eggs and pork. The pork is of course farm raised and is processed in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But is available either at the farm market or I believe at on site.
Okay. What is a microgreen?
They're small green. You can almost say they're what do you call them? The little plants that first come up that you can harvest and eat, including all kinds of spinaches. Lettuce.
Lettuce. Okay.
Yeah, there are dozens of different types of lettuce, which grow, of course, fine in cooler weather.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a general term, they're referred to as microgreens.
Okay. All right. That's a new term to me. It's amazing. All right.
Yeah, I talked to also Doug Harding. Harding's Willowbrook Farm in Pattonburg is a big place. And three brothers run it, Doug, Dale, and Daryl Harding.
Mm-hmm.
And they raise all kinds of plants. Of course, this is not an eating place. It's any kind of plant you might want from...
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. 4 million records were compromised. The Department of Homeland Security says data was breached from the Office of Personnel Management and the Interior Department when hackers got into the personal information of federal workers. Cybersecurity expert Waylon Crush says the thieves hit the jackpot.
You're connecting people in the federal government to some specific jobs that they do, all their family members, where they, I mean, this is just huge.
Fingers are being pointed at China, which has issued an angry response. The May jobs report is stronger than expected, and economist Gus Fauché says he is encouraged by the numbers.
It's a good, solid report. I think that this is the kind of report we're looking for. I think we'll continue to see job growth of 225,000 to 250,000 per month through the rest of this year, and that the job market is looking pretty solid.
But unemployment went up from 5.4% in April to 5.5% in May. This is USA Headline News.
Now that Rite Aid is part of the Plenty program, Wellness Plus is more rewarding than ever. Why? Because now Wellness Plus with Plenty gives you a second way to save, with Plenty Points, which works similar to Plus Up Rewards, only better. Because Plenty Points can be earned in one place and used for savings at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon and Mobil, and other participating partners. So if you like Plus Ups, you're going to love Plenty Points. Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our 4-day super sale, June 5th through the 8th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Fears persist that eastern Ukraine is about to fall back into a full-scale war, and the G7 leaders are concerned. White House Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes says the group is determined not to waver on sanctions against Russia.
We need to maintain the pressure, show that there cannot be cracks in the transatlantic unity, and show that the costs are just going to continue to grow to Russia.
On Tuesday, a fierce battle broke out in eastern Ukraine and was the worst fighting seen since a ceasefire began in March. Several homes were damaged in Colorado last night after tornadoes touched down in Larimer County. Emergency Management Coordinator Lori Hodges.
It looked like the outer walls were ripped off of the homes, or the roofs were ripped off. That's really what I saw, is really the outer shell was removed and you could see the inside of the homes.
Flooding is a concern for today. The overturned cruise ship in China has been turned upright, allowing crews to search for nearly 340 people still missing. So far, 103 bodies have been found and there are 14 survivors. This is USA Headline News.
For the first time, America's behavior expert Scott Farrell is offering you the Marriage Matrix. The system used for years to help save marriages is now available to you. The Marriage Matrix can save you expense, personal embarrassment, and maybe even save your marriage.
I'm America's behavior expert Scott Farrell. If you really want a shot at saving your marriage, get the Marriage Matrix today, and together, let's do this.
Call now, 844-HELP-US-0. That's 844-HELP-US-0. Or visit ismymarriageworthit.com.
The Triple Crown favorite has finished 3 days of light workouts leading up to tomorrow's Belmont Stakes. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
On the eve of potential horse racing history, the word happy keeps popping up around American Pharoah. Owner Ahmed Zayat says the colt, a mile and a half away from the first Triple Crown in 37 years, gives him a lot of confidence.
He's coming in very healthy, carrying his weight. He doesn't show any sign of wear and tear. And he's a happy horse.
American Pharoah will go off as an odds-on favorite, trailed by Frosted and Materiality, horses he already beat in last month's Kentucky Derby. Warren Levinson, Belmont Park, New York.
A prosecutor in Germany says the co-pilot with a history of depression who crashed the Germanwings airliner into the French Alps had reached out to dozens of doctors ahead of the disaster. The revelation suggests Andreas Lubitz was seeking advice about an undisclosed ailment. A criminal investigation is being conducted into the March 24th crash that killed all 150 people on board. A friend of the Boston Marathon bomber, Zhohar Tsarnaev, has been sentenced to 3.5 years in prison for removing Tsarnaev's backpack from his dorm room with another friend after the 2013 attack. Asmat Tazayakov tearfully apologized today to the people of Boston and to his family for his actions. He also denounced Tsarnaev's decision to bomb the marathon, saying it made him sick. Another friend of Tsarnaev is also being sentenced today. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits. It's Friday, can you believe? Friday in June, the first Friday in June, and here we are. Well, what about the weather? Well, showers. But it's been quite cool, actually cold at night lately, and today they said there was a slight chance of showers in the late afternoon, but I think we've had more than a slight chance. For most places, it has been raining at least off and on. Tonight, again, a slight chance of showers, and tomorrow we can expect more of a chance of showers, 30% chance tomorrow, so that It's mainly before 11 a.m., so hopefully it'll clear up in the afternoon. This week, the best day should be Sunday, sunny, high of about 76 degrees. So that's the day to get out. Mostly clear if you want to do anything out on Saturday night. And again, going into Sunday night, slight chance of showers, and then Monday we're likely to have rain. I know we need it. So today, before I start, I apologize, I'm a little late because I was at the Red Shoe Luncheon and Fashion Show. And what is nice to find out here in Hunterdon is that so many of our organizations really work together. And the Red Shoe Luncheon and Fashion Show, it is sponsored by BW Nice, and BW Nice is a network, women who network for networking and education and charity, and the charity is Safe in Hunterdon. But the nice thing about Hunterdon County, I found out in the years I've lived here, are the number of people who are out active in the community. You know, we meet these people, and the chamber people who are active. There were many of the chamber people in attendance today. I was pleased to see selling tickets for the 50-50 and the Tricky Tray. We had Bobby Paola and Tom Fitzgerald. So they both were there in tuxes and selling tickets and to benefit the wonderful charities. But this is really always what we have. And, of course, as you know, Tom is the Leeds North director. I guess he leads it. And, of course, we have Judy Gold. My friend Judy Gold was, of course, there in the audience today, but taking photos and just being Judy, who is so active both in the chamber and in BW Nice. She's on the board of BW Nice, and she has been, I think, from the beginning. Michelle Heidi, and you know, most of us know Michelle and her leadership role here in the chamber, and she was one of the models today. Ruth Ann Brown, who has a radio, one of the radio shows here, was also modeling. And I hats off to the guys who attended. There were every year there were women who attend, and Joe Patton was one of the people in the audience. Of course, I guess he had to be since his partner was one of the models. But actually, it's fun. We raise a lot of money for Safe in Hunterdon, and it's just a great activity. And it's nice to see so many of the people that I've met through the chamber also attending this event and so many of the other events here in the county. So that was why I was a little bit tardy, and I apologize. And let's get on to what's happening in legal news. And by the way, next week I really invite you to join or listen to the program. I'm going to have Kevin Kilcollins, an attorney here in Hunterdon County, and he's going to be here talking about franchises. And anybody who is interested or has pursued business and is thinking about a franchise, I think you'll find it a very, very helpful program. So what is happening? There is, if you follow horse racing, you know there was a $1.65 million suit filed against, and that was in New Jersey, and that suit has been dismissed. There was a breach of contract and unjust enrichment suit filed against Ahmed Zayat. And of course, anybody who's looking at horse racing knows that he is the owner of American Feral. But that ruling came just 3 days after Zayat was hit with a $10 million libel suit by the attorney for the plaintiff in a breach of contract case over statements Zayat made to the press about merits of the claim. So the whole suit has been dismissed, which must have meant, you know, that's not done often that early on in the case. So anybody interested should follow up and read some things about that, because it it shows how some people will come out of the woodwork. Now, I know nothing about this case and nothing about what the claims were about, but that can happen quickly in New Jersey. When a suit is filed, it can be dismissed almost just as quickly. Now, there was a federal jury in Newark has returned a defense verdict in favor of Merck & Company, and I had talked about this case. It was a gender and pregnancy discrimination suit brought by a company executive who claimed she was fired for taking maternity leave, and that was a defense suit. So it meant that it went to trial, and she did not win, and so that very often those suits are settled. They really are. They're settled because a company doesn't want to risk. But in this case, Merck decided to proceed, and in fact, the verdict was in favor of Merck & Company. Now, there's another interesting suit because there was a Princeton University student who claims that the university failed to accommodate his disability after he attempted suicide, and he wanted to bring the lawsuit anonymously, but the federal judge in Newark has ruled that he cannot bring a suit anonymously, so he must identify himself. So that, one could understand why he wants to bring it anonymously, but one can also understand why that would make it, very, very difficult if someone can bring it anonymously. Well, there was a 1997 settlement of a nationwide class action claiming agents of Prudential Insurance Company engaged in fraudulent sales practices. And apparently that did not release the company from liability in a suit brought last year by members of the class. So that we would usually assume that the class action suit would cover everyone, and I don't know much about the case, but that fraud settlement did not release the company from liability. So what else is happening? Apparently the news and commentary website, and that's NJ.com, will not have to reveal the identity of an anonymous poster who made comments critical of a local politician and his wife, who then filed a defamation claim against the commentator. And this was the appeals court in New Jersey appellate division indicated that they did not have to reveal the identity of that anonymous person. So that is another... if you're a legal junkie, all of these things are interesting. I guess if you're not, probably none of them are. But the another case, a $52,000 award in a New Jersey firm's New Jersey firm's fee recovery suit was tossed out by the appellate division, and in part because the trial judge did not determine whether performing work outside the retainer's parameters was reasonable. So that means that certainly attorneys need to make sure that their retainer covers the fees that they're, or the work that they're agreeing to do. And if not, I guess it's, attorney beware. Now, if you've been under a bushel, you might not have heard what's happening with U.S. Senator Robert Menendez. But he is taking on opposition from the U.S. Department of Justice because he wants to move his corruption trial from Newark to Washington, D.C. And apparently he's trying to draw parallels from his case to the government's failed prosecution of U.S. Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska. So that continues, and we'll see what happens to embattled U.S. Senator Menendez. So the another thing that's happening, and it should be fairly extensive legislation when it comes out, is that the New Jersey lawmakers are moving closer to making drastic changes as to how juveniles charged with criminal offenses can be tried, sentenced, and even confined as adults. So this, there's going to be an overhaul, or there's certainly looking to be an overhaul in the juvenile court system. Well, let's take a few notes from our sponsors, and again, I hope everyone considers all of our sponsors when you're out and about, and in fact, all of our local businesses, because local businesses are what makes Hunterdon strong, and frankly, what makes Hunterdon different in many ways, because we have local people who stand behind what they're doing, and you know, it's hard when you have a neighbor. They're going to give you good service. So we'll be back in just after I make a couple of these announcements.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
You're listening to HuntingChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Well, we're back. The program, It's the Law, and just talking about some of the legal news that has been in the news lately. And one of the issues is whether or not a... yep, I think I talked about that one. So let's see what else we have here. Sorry, I didn't have as much time today to get prepared because I was at the Red Shoe event. And it was a great event, and hope everybody who didn't know about it and didn't come out this year thinks about it next year, because it's becoming an annual event. This was the fourth year that the Luncheon and Red Shoe event, and some modeling and luncheon, and over 200 people, probably close to 250 people attended today, so it was great. The court in New Jersey Appellate Court upheld a $1.7 million attorney fee award against a title insurance company, finding that the work billed for in the underlying title dispute fell within the insurance policy's defense coverage provisions. So the appellate court also ruled that the plaintiffs may be entitled to attorney's fees and costs related to the title insurance dispute, as well as prejudgment interest. So obviously that was a huge case. And, you know, we all need title insurance, and it's important to have title insurance. And, of course, this must have been a case that there was a question, and the title insurance company didn't want to, didn't feel that their dispute or the dispute fell within the policy. And one of the things that people have to be very careful about, of course, is to see what is insured under the policy, because it, you know, title companies are going to defend only against what they insure. And I think most of us tend to gloss over some of those things. And that is why, you know, I'm an attorney, but I would not buy property without having a real estate attorney represent me. I think that that's the only way to really understand and to not only negotiate a good contract, but to really understand, you know, if there are any problems with the property, to negotiate certain things and to make sure that you're not going to have any surprises later on. Now, I know that Chief Justice here, our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, gave his State of the Judiciary address at the State Bar Association's annual meeting in Atlantic City, and he talked about bail reform. He talked about other things with the courts, and of course, one of the things that goes unsaid here in New Jersey is that our courts are underfunded. The fees keep going up because they're underfunded, but the main thing is we really have need many more judges, and I mean many more. We could use two more in Hunterdon County, and most of the counties are the judges that have been allotted have not been assigned. For example, we just recently had retired Judge Rubin, really has been here and did any variety. Judge Rubin did, well, he sat in family, he sat in criminal, he sat in civil. And now that he has retired, we're taking a look and seeing how many more months it will be to have him replaced. And frankly, what should happen is we know when judges are going to retire, at least when they're going to, they have to retire at age 70. So there should be someone in the pipeline ready to be appointed really right then and there, because otherwise all of the judges have to take over the slack, or pick up the slack, I should say, and they get behind, and the whole thing just snowballs so that it can take, for example, divorce cases. It can take 3 or 4 years if a case doesn't settle. Now, granted, most cases settle, and most cases should settle, but it's unfair, and it's unfair to the judges to have such backlogs, and it's certainly not their fault, and I think that's the problem. The other thing in family are there's so many motions. I mean, they really need to have more judges to handle all of the motions. But in any event, I get on that from time to time, but the only way we're going to have more judges is, in fact, if we have the public behind this issue, and nobody thinks about it until they get involved in the court system themselves. So I'm going to play the news break, and then we'll be back for more news. I'm sorry, we'll play the news break, and then we'll be back for more program.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. China's foreign ministry is dismissing the allegations that hackers based in China broke into U.S. government computer networks. U.S. officials say information on the entire federal workforce may have been compromised by the intrusion into the networks of the Office of Personnel Management and the Interior Department.
There are massive attacks that come out of China every day that steal American intellectual property, that steal American data for the purpose of exploitation to help Chinese companies and also just for financial gain.
That was California Representative Adam Schiff. But China is calling on the U.S. to stop making what it calls unverified allegations. The FBI is investigating, according to White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest.
They are working actively to understand exactly the scope of this.
The employee information stolen dates back to 1985. This is USA Headline News.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy, how do I know I'm getting the best price on this laptop?
Staples will match our competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges, my chances of winning lottery and toner?
Guaranteed, no way guaranteed, guaranteed.
Make on budget happen, make best prices happen. Staples, make more happen. This week at Staples, save up to $170 on select laptops.
Offer ends 6/6/15 in store and online while supplies last. Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See storestables.com for details.
Musicians, it's summer, and whether you're having a backyard party, local club show, or heading out on the road, drop into Guitar Center first and save up to 40% on guitars, keyboards, drums, and other gear on the go. Get an Ibanez acoustic electric guitar for just $174. Electro Voice microphones, just $39. Or Ernie Ball acoustic strings, three sets for $12. Get road ready and save up to 40% now through Sunday at Guitar Center. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're back, and the program, It's the Law. I talked a little bit about some of the recent things in the recent opinions. There haven't been as many published opinions that would be of widespread interest. There's certainly been a number that are unpublished, and as I've said before, unpublished opinions are important, and they certainly give attorneys direction. However, they cannot be cited as precedent. And so that there was a recent case where I was against New Jersey Insurance Underwriting Association, and this was the plaintiff who represented himself, appealed from the denial of his motion for reconsideration. Now, what happened is there was the defendant was granted summary judgment. There was a motion filed for summary judgment by the defendant, and it was granted. And the it was granted in this action was seeking insurance coverage for a fire to a rental property he owned in Trenton under a policy issued by defendant. And the plaintiff in the case argued that he was exempt from the one-year limitation provision in the policy. And the appellate division affirmed substantially for the reason expressed by the trial judge, and that was the plaintiff's failure to timely file his complaint. So it was also, it added that there is another case that the plaintiff tried to rely on, but it was inapplicable since this action, in this action, the defendant never conceded liability and had never attempted to negotiate a figure for payment on account of the loss. And the defendant had always contended that the structure stood vacant for more than 60 days, and that was contrary to the policy terms. So again, although this is an unpublished opinion, what's important is for anyone who owns rental property or a primary residence to look carefully at your insurance policy to see if there are exclusions. For example, this was obviously a policy that excluded if the property was vacant, and it was this was a rental property, but if the property was vacant for more than 60 days, the policy did not cover. So that in this case, the owner of the property would have to have a different insurance policy. Doesn't say that some companies would not cover it, but obviously insurance companies think that that's a bigger risk, and so that they excluded it in their policy. Certainly people who have winter homes in the north and perhaps summer homes in the south are also need to take a very good look at that. There are many people who have homes in, you know, Florida, Arizona, and so you have to take a look and make sure that the insurance coverage is going to cover what you need it to cover. Because if the policy says that you can only have it vacant for 60 days, well, that's generally not the type of insurance policy that someone needs if they have a vacation home. And so it's not only home in Florida for the winter, but it's any vacation home. You have to be very careful that you get the type of policy. And again, that means you should deal with some of our local insurance people, and there are many of them. Many of them are members of the chamber. And again, if you deal with someone locally, they're going to tell you if in fact your insurance is what you need. And so it's not always best to go for the cheapest, because it may be that there are exclusions in that cheap policy that, you know, you just don't know about. And unless you're one of those people that read every single thing in the policy, and most of us don't. So that another case recently, again, it was, and by the way, the case I'm talking about, the insurance case, was McClees versus New Jersey Insurance Underwriting Association. And that was an appellate division opinion that was issued just this past week. There was also a big issue, and it's always an issue, as to whether or not a child is emancipated. I'm talking now about divorce cases in New Jersey. There's no automatic emancipation when a child is 18. There's no automatic emancipation when a child graduates from high school. It really depends on the circumstances. Now, there are some legislation pending that may change some of this, but at this point, this was a situation where the father moved to emancipate the party's child and terminate alimony payments to his former wife. And the trial judge denied the emancipation request after finding that the wife's documentation showed the child was enrolled full-time in college, a full-time college student. And what the judge did, he's recomputed the amount of child support payable by the father pursuant to the child support guidelines. And in this case, it was $183 a week. And the request to terminate alimony was also denied. Now, on appeal, the father challenged the weekly income used to compute his child support obligation. Because one of the things that we have here in New Jersey is a shared it takes into account the net income of both parents. So that's very important. Some states, for example, Wisconsin only takes a look at the payor's income. But in New Jersey, we look at both parents' incomes to calculate child support. But the appellate division affirmed that income used to calculate his child support support obligation was correct. However, there was an error on the worksheet, where because the calculation neglected to include the alimony that he paid. Now, what happens in cases is that you have to take the gross income of each parent, and then you deduct the alimony. If alimony is paid by one to the other, you deduct it from his or her, usually it's his, but his income, and then you add it to the recipient's income, and then you deduct taxes from both, and that's where you come up with the net amount that child support is to be calculated. And also, if one parent, for example, in this case, if the father was paying medical insurance, that also has to be part of the calculations. Now, the other thing, and this case really, even though a child is enrolled as a full-time college student, the child support guidelines are not applicable after a child graduates from secondary school. A parent can be required to pay child support as well as some college expenses, but the guidelines are only set up for children under the age of 18, and that's because that's what the studies were based on. So in this case, what happened is the appellate court reversed the order and then remanded to the trial court to recalculate the support by plugging in the right numbers. This is very unusual that somehow those numbers were not handled. The errors were not corrected. Ordinarily, if in fact there would be such an error, that the alimony would not be deducted from the payor and added to the recipient's income when calculating child support, all you'd have to do is inform the judge, the trial judge, and show that the medical insurance was not deducted. And at that point, they do it. So that, you know, the courts, I find the courts try to be very flexible and don't try to require people to go back and spend more money on attorneys to do what is really a ministerial error. So if, but that is important that someone knows that they have the right, if they're paying alimony, that they deduct that from all gross income, and it gets, you know, if the custodial parent is getting, well, it doesn't make any difference either way. You pay child support based on net after-tax income, and the recipient of alimony, of course, has to pay tax on that alimony, so that's part of the recipient's income. So that's important. It rarely, I've not seen that error in a long time. The other thing, as far as the medical, though, I have seen errors in that, because the only medical that is deducted by the parent who pays it is the medical for the child. And so that's really important to know that you have to then go to the employer and find out what's the cost. If one parent is carrying medical for the children, what is the cost if that parent was only paying medical for himself or herself? And then what's the additional cost for the children? Because the only amount that gets credited in the child support guidelines, of course, is the amount for the children. And this is something that parents really need to take a look at, because insurance, of course, is a major issue. It's one of the things that both parents should agree in a divorce to take a look at. Number one, who has the better policy? What about the deductibles? You know, because changes in insurance are probably some of the biggest changes today. You know, we do have affordable insurance for some people. Some people can qualify. You really have to do more homework. There's some people out there who I call on if, in fact, these issues come up, because they really know medical insurance. And it's amazing the differences in cost. And, for example, I have a client now, and he's paying $15,600 for insurance for family. Now, as soon as the divorce is done, obviously he will not be covering his wife. He will not be able to cover his wife. But the issue is, and she now is working and can get insurance, and she can get insurance for herself, so that's not a problem. But she could also cover the children. Well, in this case, it would be foolish to have a knee-jerk reaction that the husband should carry the children just because he's done it for many years. We have to look at what is the wife's policy, what is the husband's policy, and how much is it going to cost? Because his insurance, even with the going down to individual plus children, it's not going to drop that much. So if he's paying, you know, $1,000 a month, and you know, and she would only have to pay $500 a month, you know, it makes sense. Unless the coverage was very inferior, it makes sense to do it that way. The other thing that people have to really look at is the how much is going to be the deductible, because some of these huge deductibles, you know, there are times, for example, where we will, both parents will cover insurance because one will have very high deductible but very low costs, but if in fact their insurance kicks in, they will have much better insurance. Now, people say, well, if both parents have insurance, well, who really provides primary coverage? Well, we have in New Jersey what we call the birthday rule, and that means not age-wise, but whose birthday. If one parent is, mom is in February and dad is in August and they both have insurance, then mom's insurance is primary. And so it doesn't make any difference if mom is 10 years younger than dad. It's just what date. So when people say, well, you know, what's the birthday rule? That's the birthday rule. And now it doesn't mean that both parents can't cover the children. They can. But between the insurance companies, they look first to, in that case, if mom's birthday is first, they look to her insurance company before they look to dad's. So there's a lot here to look into, and especially because medical insurance is so expensive. Well, I better play a couple more spots so we don't run out of time, and we'll be back shortly.
Hi. I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time,
falling down,
it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Okay, we're back, and I'm trying to figure out what else to talk about, which might be of interest. There is a case that Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey versus Union of Rutgers administrators, not a published decision, but this was AFL-CIO was a division, was actually an appellate division case, and in that case there was a final determination of the Public Employment Relations Commission that restrained binding arbitration of a grievance filed by the URA-AFT regarding the staffing of the monitoring of boilers at Rutgers. And Rutgers had changed the manner in which off-hours coverage for the boiler monitoring function was assigned, and that resulted in the elimination of overtime. And the appellate division affirmed, finding that the record supported the decision that the university had managerial prerogative to assign licensed boiler operators who were being paid straight time to handle boiler checks during off-hour shifts. And when the shift operations specialists or supervisors of utility operations were out, so that they found that was reasonable and found that the university staffing assignments were based on its goal of having the boiler checks performed in an efficient and more cost-effective manner. So this was something that the unions were saying nope, and they lost on that one. So there was another creditors and debtors' rights are many, many cases. And in this case, there was a Midland Funding LLC versus Maureen Burroughs. And she, the defendant in that case, appealed the denial of her motion to vacate a default judgment entered in a collection action. And the court said that because such a motion must be liberally construed, the appellate panel concluded that the judge erred in disregarding defendant's sworn statements in favor of the judge's interpretation favorable to plaintiff of a telephone conversation between plaintiff's counsel's office and the unrepresented defendant. And in this case, the panel found that the judge gave too much credence to the transcript of the telephone conversation. And apparently the judge should not have decided the motion through an interpretation favorable to the defendant's adversary of unsworn statements that were likely inadmissible. So apparently this telephone conversation, obviously, that was just some hearsay, meaning it's out of court, discussion. And so that is why the panel reversed the order under review, vacated the default judgment, and remanded for an entry of an order permitting the defendant a reasonable time to file a responsive pleading. So that is, of course, you know, you can't ever expect that that's going to happen. And I've seen over and over again where people get a complaint and they ignore it. Now, in New Jersey, for example, I do family law. In New Jersey, when a divorce complaint is filed, the defendant has 35 days, not filed, excuse me, when the defendant is served with a divorce complaint, the defendant has 35 days in which to answer the complaint from the date of service. And I can't tell you the number of times that, you know, people just ignore it. Now, if I'm representing the plaintiff, I don't run into court on the 31st day to file a default. However, when there are creditors who are seeking and they file complaints against debtors, they will, in fact, file that default very, very quickly. So in matrimonial, I find that most, in divorce cases, I find that most attorneys will, you know, give some reasonable amount of time, but then there's pressure from the courts that you really have to file the default and start processing the case. Otherwise, as the attorney for the person who filed the case, you can really create problems for your client. So in any event, in this particular case, because of some telephone conversation, the appellate division felt that the trial judge should not have put that much credence in that transcript because, of course, it was an out-of-court statement. Out-of-court statements are hearsay. There are exceptions to hearsay, but generally you can't repeat an out-of-court statement and use it as evidential in court. Again, there are lots of things that happen in court that really don't happen on television. There was another, you know, one of the big problems in family law, and this is a case that was recently not a reported, not a published case, but certainly a reported, unpublished case. And one of the real issues in family law is termination of alimony if the person, the recipient of alimony, is cohabiting. And there's a new statute now with respect to cohabitation that is going to perhaps and probably make it easier to prove cohabitation. In this case, the defendant appealed, and he filed a motion to terminate alimony to his former wife due to her alleged cohabitation with a third party. And he argued that the trial judge was in error in finding that he failed to establish a prima facie case of cohabitation. And specifically in this case, the defendant, former husband, contended that the limited economic evidence that he provided was sufficient to order a plenary hearing and such financial information, because that financial information is largely within the control of the plaintiff and the cohabitant. And he also claimed that the judge failed to make sufficient findings of fact and conclusions of law to support the order regarding the surveillance reports and other things. Now, the appellate panel disagreed and affirmed, and they felt the defendant failed to establish the prima facie case of cohabitation because he failed to provide any proof other than pure speculation in support of his allegations that his former wife and this other person met in secret, held themselves out as a married couple, and intertwined their finances. So apparently the defendant in this case had undergone a 15-month private investigation, but that review revealed very few overnight visits between his former wife and the new man in her life, and no evidence at all that they lived together, and he presented no proof whatsoever to support his claim that they operated a joint business or otherwise shared expenses. So he lost. And of course, these are very, very difficult to prove. I mean, cohabitation is very difficult to prove. And so that You know, it is. It really is. And one of the things that I suggest people do is really put very specific language in a property settlement agreement so that you can, you know, so that if in fact somebody is involved in a relationship that is cohabitation, that alimony not necessarily terminate, but certainly be suspended. But those are tough issues to agree to. Okay, so we're just about out of time, but there was another case, Zeitlin versus Zeitlin. It was in Ocean County. This is not published. It's Judge Jones, and he's a trial judge who's been publishing more opinions, and usually trial judges' opinions are not published, but you always look for a Judge Jones opinion because it's well thought out, well reasoned, and, you know, many of them have been published. But this was an application to modify the provision of the property settlement agreement, and the property settlement agreement was incorporated into the judgment of divorce. And what it did is it permitted each parent to claim one child as a child dependency exemption for federal and state income tax purposes. And this is very usual. And then, of course, the custodial parent has to sign a certain form. But what this motion was, it was after the parent paying support had accumulated substantial arrears in his child support obligation. And so this the former wife sought an order suspending his right to claim one of the children as a tax exemption while he had unpaid arrears. And she wanted the court to grant her the right to claim both children as her dependency exemptions. And what Judge Jones did is finding that the defendant's right to claim a child as a tax exemption under the settlement agreement was at least inferentially conditioned on a duty of good faith and fair dealing, which included his compliance with his ongoing child support obligation. The court, Judge Jones, granted the motion, holding that when a non-custodial parent accrued child support arrears which remained unpaid at year's end, the family court could suspend his right to claim one of the children as a tax dependency exemption. And the big thing always in these cases is that it's you don't want both parents. I mean, if both parents claim children, that is one of the real automatic triggers for the IRS, and they are tracking it. They really are. And because now we have to put down the Social Security numbers of the children. So this is really something you have to be very careful about. And what happens is the custodial parent, there is a form that the custodial parent has to agree to sign to give the other parent the tax exemption. So apparently in this case, she did get what she wanted. It's just too bad that they had to have a cost of a motion to go back to court to do it. So I think that's about it for today. And today, June 6th, and I hope everyone has a great weekend. As I said, we'll be back after the news with the sports guys and the weather.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2004.